everybody. It's Mary Lou Tyler. Today I have a guest who I've been trying to get on this podcast forever. He's so busy. His name is Matt Bertuzzi, and he is the sales and marketing operations guru, VP executive extraordinaire over at The Bridge Group. And The Bridge Group, if you don't know, is a fabulous group of folks who really work. They're spanning out probably all the way down the pipeline now, but I first came in contact with them through that SDR role, and they do a lot with playbooks, and there's some books out there by the team on those topics. But today we have Matt, and Matt is one of us. He is the sales ops guy. He's the guy who makes sure everything is put together properly. He's written a book. So I will put the book in the show notes so you guys can go out and grab it. It's available on Kindle and paperback. But today we're going to talk about the why behind the book. And I want Matt to tell us, you know, what really got him excited about doing this book for us and the types of things that we can learn from the book. And also, if there's some one or two actionable things, I'm going to ask him to tell us, you know, when we hang up this phone call, that we can do today in order to start building a pipeline that is just high velocity, that gets us to the where we want to go with opportunities and then onward to the close. Welcome, Matt, to the podcast.
Mary Lou, thank you so much for having me.
This has been just an amazing experience. You know, this book, I as a systems engineer type, I love what you've done with this book. So let's start right away with, you know, what, there's a lot of books out there, not a lot going on the ops side. And, you know, what I consider, you know, the actual tool sets of building this beautiful pipeline. What got you interested in taking this to this level to help us really get a handle on our pipelines?
So I think that, so like many people, there's kind of a talk or a slide deck or a story that you tell like over and over year after year. And for me, it has always been how to make Salesforce work for sales development teams, SDRs, LDRs, ADRs, whatever you call them. So if you or your listeners imagine it's 2002 and you're a brand new SDR and you log into Salesforce, or it's 2016 and you're a brand new SDR and you log into Salesforce, they look the same. Like the processes, the pages, the steps really haven't advanced that much in a decade and a half. So I've been trying and failing, honestly, to try to bring like the ops community to say, hey, sales development reps building pipeline are doing an important job that's hard work. Let's make the system they work in day after day as pleasant and as enabling as possible. So really, you know, it just as you'd imagine, I did a user group talk with Salesforce, and then I presented on this at Dreamforce. And then I wanted to, people kept asking me, do you have anything, do you have that written down anywhere? Like that thing you just talked about with screenshots? And I said, no, I don't have an ebook. There's no webinar. It's just, you know, it's this deck I've been working on for 10 years. So I decided to sit down and put it on paper. And I wanted it to be more than just, you know, a bunch of screenshots and formulas and process stuff. Like I wanted to tell stories behind it. Mm-hmm. So I interviewed a bunch of sales leaders, admins, ops people, actual SDRs themselves, and tried to lay out what I think is a framework for building Salesforce for sales development teams, a way that makes them more productive, happier, and at a minimum makes them not dread when they find out the company they just joined uses Salesforce, if that makes any sense.
It certainly does. And I think too that, you know, the book is written for Salesforce and you're an MVP for this type of application. But can we take, before we get started, you know, I don't want people to tune out now thinking, oh, well, I don't use Salesforce. Can we take some of the concepts from this book and apply towards our XYZ CRM, or is it really dedicated to the Salesforce app, the Salesforce engine, in your opinion?
That's a good question. And I haven't given it much thought, but the way I organized the book was in five parts, thinking about like the flow of a sales development rep. And those are pretty system agnostic. Yep. You know, you have to, regardless of your CRM, you have to get the leads to the rep. Mm-hmm. They have to do their research, their pre-call research. They have to conduct outreach, and then you have to measure it. So those are CRM agnostic. So those steps and the stories from the people who I interviewed in the book don't really get, they don't go, they're at the business layer. They don't get into the technology layer. And right. Each chapter is like, I say it's like part lab, which is nerdy stuff, and then part lecture, which is more the philosophy and the success stories. Mm-hmm. So those are CRM agnostic. And then the screenshots are obviously Salesforce specific, but the concepts can apply to any CRM that has customization, that allows for customization and is built for salespeople.
Okay. So for those listening, what Matt just said is there are screenshots that are specific to Salesforce, but the overall architecture and workflow and methodology of creating a scalable, lightning fast, as his book is called, lightning sales ops team, and the actual methods and systems underneath it are in that book for you to really take a look at and compare against what you're doing now and to get some improvement.
Yeah, and I think a lot of the issue is, at least the issue I've experienced with teams, is they use Salesforce how Salesforce is built. You know what I mean? It's like, why do you do it this way? And the answer is because that's the way the vanilla demo org works. So you never want the process to be too prescriptive. So I think that's an issue with any CRM. Most people, they don't, like, there's not an ops person when the company is founded. There's definitely not an ops person by the time there's, you know, one or two sales reps. Right. So, you know, it kind of the system calcifies because there was no one there to change it. And then when they're ready to have an ops person, then you're like, well, this is the way we do things because this is the way we did things.
Right. Right. You know, last night I went and had beers with a friend of mine who's a CRM Salesforce guy. And he came in and his shoulders were drooping. I'm like, what happened to you today? And he said, I am just having such a hard time getting these folks to adopt this system. You know, they're just, adoption is, I'm sure, a result of poorly configured CRMs, but, you know, what you're working on, Matt, do you think by people taking a look and taking this stuff in and really understanding what it can do for them, does the adoption and does the actual compliance go up as the result of really looking at their workflows?
Yeah, that's a good, so there's two, I have two thoughts on that. Like, one, at the SDR role, those folks are generally so new to sales and junior that they, it's all stick. There's such little carrot.
Right.
But then if you're looking at AEs or more to the point, field reps, remote reps.
Right.
Stick, it just doesn't work. You're not going to get compliance. So there's little things you can do that are nudges. But traditionally, I'd like to see if you agree, is my philosophy is that sales or CRM has always been built for leaders, like on the backs of reps. You know, this is the tool you use so because I want you to.
Right.
And the carrot piece is this is the tool that will make your life easier, and unbeknownst to you, without you taking extra steps, by virtue of you using the system, it's going to throw off data that I will use to make management decisions. Versus you do these things so I can manage you. You do you, and the data will be created by virtue of your actions, and I will report on that.
Right. Yeah. Now, you know, you and I come from an era, I'm a database programmer. That's what I was formally trained as. So when I started working with Salesforce and other CRMs, my immediate, I hate it, you know, monitor went off in my head because I couldn't get the workflow to go the way I wanted it to for the system I designed and planned out. So I felt like I was the workaround queen trying to get stuff done. With the native way it was done. I mean, one of the biggest problems we've always experienced, and I'm sure that there's a workaround now for that that you can tell us about, is this whole concept of leads versus contacts and accounts and yada, yada, yada. And do I create an opportunity first? And so have you solved that for us, Matt? Please tell us.
Yeah, so I actually have two full chapters in my book where I talk about this. And to be fully frank, I have solved it by saying, you know, I say hashtag never leads. This is a problem.
Yes.
Don't use leads. And what I mean by don't use leads is don't have reps taking actions in the leads table of the database.
Okay.
let marketing use it, let the system with logic, with code, with third-party apps serve up accounts and contacts to reps, because like you know, that's how reps, that's how any human thinks. You don't think about the people who at a company as a bunch of flat, non-related business cards. You think of them as org chart or as departments. So that's why the account and contact model makes so much sense. And the leads database is a technology decision that was made far before all of us were asked. And my general philosophy is you use technology to patch that.
Right.
Like do what makes sense for everyone, and let the coders, let the admins, let the developers deal with the technology piece.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about this in predictable revenue in the book, and Aaron was just adamant that contacts and accounts, but a lot of times with the engines for marketing automation, they serve up the lead. So it was like, well, but it's like having, like you said, it's like having houses on a street, and all the people in those houses are all individuals, and you can't connect them together. They're living in the same house, you know, and it's like, it's crazy, and it's stressful.
So here's something I talk about in the book, not to pitch it, but just conceptually to see if it makes sense.
Okay.
So let's say we'll use President Obama and Vice President Biden. You are cold call. You are prospecting Vice President Joe Biden.
Yep.
And a day, an hour, a week later, President Obama comes inbound on your website. The way the technology works and the way teams are structured is you as the outbound rep, because you're better at sales than I am, wouldn't know that I as the inbound rep just got a quote-unquote lead from the White House, you know, the same organization.
Right.
The solution that most ops people say is, well, I expect my inbound reps to search it, which is the absolute worst. Anything that requires someone to eat their vegetables, we should already know. That's not workable.
Right.
So we can do things. You're a technical person. I am not. I'm a button click admin, as we proudly say. Mm-hmm. So I have built automation in Salesforce, and if I can build it, anybody can do it, that essentially says, hey, Joe Biden's email ends in whitehouse.gov. President Obama's email ends in whitehouse.gov. We can have the system in 1 millisecond figure out that Mary Lou is already calling someone at the White House and present me as the inbound rep a visual flag that says, do not go, do not touch, let Mary Lou know. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't require me to eat my vegetables, to go searching, to do any database archaeology, to try to figure out like who's talked to these people. There's little things we can do that, since we know human nature is the path of least resistance, like never expect reps to do the hard work of searching and sorting for you. Let the system do the heavy lifting, and reps just get warned or alerted so they can prevent. Like the worst thing imaginable is calling the CEO of your biggest customer and saying, hey, have you ever heard of us? And they laugh in your face. Like that's not good for anyone.
No. That's a great teaching point right there. So let's pause for a moment so that everybody can absorb what we just heard, because I see this in probably 90% of my accounts where they're still asking the reps to search and see if there's been activity on a particular record. So you just heard it from Matt that there's a way that a non-programmer, I'm going to call you that right now just because I don't know what else to say, but a person who is not necessarily a in the weeds programmer can create a actual workflow that does this task, which is a repeatable task. It's done more than once. So therefore, in my world, if you do something more than once, it should be programmed.
Exactly.
Okay, good.
The reps appreciate it, because no inbound rep wants to pass a meeting that they're not going to get credit for.
Right.
And no AE wants the brand new rep to step on their account, and no customer success manager wants to not know that leads are coming in, other, you know, new contacts are being created. So it's about like what would we want everyone to do if they were all good and virtuous and time wasn't a constraint and everyone did everything? Great. How do we do that without requiring people? Just like you said, it happens multiple times. We'll make the systems do the virtuous things, and we'll let the people do what they're best at.
Yeah. So hypothetically, I can hear I can feel people listening to this saying, all right, we need to really look at this and figure this stuff out because we are wasting time in admin. And there's been so many studies posted lately. And this is an ongoing problem that existed back in the dark ages when I started, about admin overshadowing the actual productivity. So the return on effort numbers are off the charts. Where should I begin as a team looking at my pipeline and looking for areas where I can reduce the amount of effort but get a high impact?
For me, the biggest thing I hear is if they're field reps or AEs, if they're inside reps, they're not logging the activities, and we need to see the activities to know who's doing their job, like the pre-pipeline. What are the steps before pipeline? Or if they're SDRs, measuring activities is or quality conversations, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. The inputs. So the first, for me, the first piece of logic is how do we take out friction? If you want me to log my calls, how do I as the admin reduce friction so that you will log your calls? Okay. And everyone conceptually agrees with that. But as soon as you say, will you show me how to log a call? It's 15 clicks. Let's say it's 10 times a day, 5 days a week, 4 weeks a month. That's crazy. And if 90% of the information is the same, why can't I log that 90% case with 2 clicks?
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it takes me 15 to do the edge cases, but if I can hit the bulk with 2 clicks, let's do it. Let's automate this. Let's use logic or pre-filled, or even if it's bringing in developers, let's do the things that are going to be done the most often, with make it with the fewest clicks. And that's how you get them to use the system. You don't pay them more. You don't yell at them. You take away the 100,000 paper cuts. And it's better than, buying them steak and lobster every night if they update their pipeline. Just take away the paper cuts, and that's how you drive adoption.
Yeah, no, this is great. I mean, I remember back when I ran a call center, I had 250 agents. And we didn't have a mouse at the time. This is pre-internet. But we used to figure out the way to reduce the number of tab keys, hitting the tab key.
Of course, genius.
Yeah. So we would basically serve up, and at the time, we would try to streamline the data entry process so that the wrap up, mm-hmm. what we called wrap up, is when they finished the call, hung it up. So in the call center world, when you hang up a phone, you have to be able to file a call. It has to go somewhere. Okay. It can't just remain like in Salesforce. You can be really bad about not really closing out a call. With dialers and stuff, you had to do that. So we really worked on what we call wrap up and trying to get that wrap up from a minute down to 30 seconds, down to 15 seconds, so that we could handle more calls. So we did exactly what you're talking about. We eliminated the number of tab keys that the reps had to do by combining mm-hmm. keystrokes, essentially, in an app. So it would hit like the number one and it would do 5 things. And that would be it. And I love this. This can be done with native Salesforce coding.
Yeah, absolutely. So you made me think of another thing. So if, let's say you're an AE, your AE closes a deal, or they have the contract signed, and now they have to close it in Salesforce. Mm-hmm. The thing I see most often is reps will get they're at a high, I just closed a deal, this is great, maybe it's starting my quarter off, or I just hit my number for the quarter. And they go to Salesforce and it's like 15 required fields. No, you can't save it. You forgot to do this. No, you don't have a competitor. It doesn't matter. You won. You know, it's like you're at the moment of their high. The system is grinding the joy out of winning the deal.
Yes. Yes. That's very sad, but true. I mean, I think if we focus, it sounds like what I'm hearing from you is that trying to eliminate clicks / what I, in my world, it used to be called just the number of keystrokes, to create a qualified call wrap up. And wrap up, if for the audience, for me means we are able to track the sentiment of the call.
Yep.
or the transaction or whatever, we're able to track any new keywords or any new phrases we hear from our prospect that we think would be helpful for marketing, so that marketing mm-hmm. can incorporate the new language into the content assets that we use as we are marching people down the pipeline. And then, of course, we want to be able to close out that call and file it. So either it's going to stay in the active pipeline because we haven't finished our tasks that are meaningful, or it exits out and goes someplace for the next either long-term follow-up or do not call, whatever it is. So that's step number one. And like you said, trying to reduce the number of keystrokes, reduce the number of clicks, and get them essentially capturing the bulk of information with the fewest number of keystrokes really will help a lot in adoption.
Absolutely. At the moment where your system is getting you as a manager are getting the most value, it's about lowering the friction.
Yep.
You want to balance those. And the other piece that came to mind that I talk about and a lot of people have trouble adopting is the concept of so you're a rep, you can track your tasks, like your specific actions. Who do I have to call today as defined by who do I have open tasks for today? Or the concept I try to talk about is you track people or accounts or leads or whatever your thing is. So rather than having these tasks with reminders, like don't use tasks as your to-do, use leads or use opportunities. So you're working your list, your pipeline, whatever it is, and the tasks are being automatically created behind the scenes for reporting and intelligence, but you're tracking open prospects, not open tasks. Because it's very easy in any CRM that's out there for me to log fake tasks, push activity dates, put in 100 keystrokes a day just so people leave me alone. Mm-hmm. It's much harder for that to be, have I touched 100 prospects this week, this quarter, whatever that number is.
Right.
And there's value to the rep. Like if I want to know which in my cadence is, let's say, every other day, and today is Tuesday, so I want that prospect to disappear from my view because I just left a call. And in 2 days, which would be Thursday, I want it to reappear. I don't have to think about tasks and due dates. Let the system decide if this is a priority today. Once I call, it disappears from my list. I come in Thursday morning, it reappears. Like that's what makes sense from reps. Who do I have to call today? Not what tasks do I have to set to which date as a reminder to do. Like that's kind of like they're a proxy that we use to remind ourselves, but there's other ways to do it.
Right. Death by task. That's a term I use all the time.
Has anyone ever inherited a territory? I'm sure you have too. Like, there's nothing worse than your first login with someone else's 800 avalanche of tasks over the past, 18 months.
Right. Yeah, I'm with you on that one. 100% agreement. I think tasks should be used for scheduled events that are mm-hmm. meaningful. Once again, so if you're, let's take the SDR role and you're a junior SDR and you're setting appointments, the actual appointment date and notes regarding that first appointment. Same thing if you've set a discovery call, you're working further into the pipeline and are working on gathering stakeholders for a multi-stakeholder discovery/discussion call. Then that is a good thing to put into task because that also tells us relative position in the pipeline where your prospects are.
Absolutely. Yep.
Yeah. But the other thing I like is, once again, borrowing from the contact center, is creating what I call queues, which sounds very similar to what you're talking about in that basically you come in and there's a URL that's a view. And mm-hmm. it has, these are the accounts that are in my working status. These are the accounts that are in qualification status. So you basically mm-hmm. work your URLs and you start at the top, work it down based on the criteria of sort that the system is telling you. It could be last activity date. It could be most important, highest impact, lowest effort, or first. But that is a way to then come in and actually see your call log. I've seen your call queue of what you need to do that day. And you just start at the top, work your way down.
Yes. So it is a super simple example that our platinum prospects, we want to call them every day. Right. And our gold plus prospects is every other. And our bronze is, twice a week. Mm-hmm. The expectation with most sales managers or SDR managers is the rep knows these three cadences and is logging closing activities and scheduling future ones based on the cadence. But it's all, if it's all programmatic, why don't you have the system do all of it? So the rep is just working, as you said, I'm working the queue.
Right.
It comes back tomorrow because it's platinum. If it's gold, it wouldn't show up tomorrow. It would show up the day after. Like, let the system do the thinking and the date pushing.
Right.
And then you as the manager can report on all that stuff. Great. Who's behind in their cadences?
Right.
Who needs more leads? Who's doing this and that? Who's got a better connect rate, a better working rate? Like, let the system do the boring programmatic clicky pieces on the back end, and let the reps just say, who do I need to call? How do I customize my message? And how am I doing the goal? Like, let them, let that be their purview, not what's the process and when's this due date? And is this the sixth touch, which means I skip forward, you know, don't make them worry about that stuff.
Mm-hmm. And you're saying that this can all be programmed or facilitated within native Salesforce?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I am not a rocket scientist. I'm not a scientist of any kind. And I've figured out how to engineer these types of processes. I mean, not to say there aren't amazing tools, there are amazing, what I call cadence tools, like phone and email and intelligence and recording tools. Like SalesLoft is one I'm a huge fan of. I think what they do is great. And I cannot figure out how to make Salesforce as good as SalesLoft at what SalesLoft does, but I can get pretty close.
Right.
I can get 70% of the way there, 80% of the way there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And for those of you who are you know, doing the math here, you got to think about the cost of the stack. When you start adding all these apps on top of Salesforce Engine, the cost per rep, monthly cost for doing business goes up dramatically. So if you can get a good jump on some of these strategies and prove the concept using native, why not?
Right. And so I'm stealing this from someone. And if they're listening, I'm sorry. I forgot who you are. Please reach out and let me know. But they have, this is the smartest idea I've ever heard. When a rep starts at their company, they want the rep 100% focused on giving the best message and executing the best process. So they don't give them the automation and acceleration tools day one. Once they've hit, you know, 60 days or hit quota for 2 months or finishing their ramp, then they assume the rep knows how to execute the process, knows the business, knows the market, knows the buyer profiles, knows the message, and then they get automation.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas what I'm sure you see it too. You see automation, you have a rep 10 days into their job emailing 1,000 people a day. That just doesn't make any sense to me because you can't be good at it after 10 days.
No, and that's why we see all of those emails that people yell and scream about that are spam. I mean, they just, it's all about me, it's all about me, it's all about me. I want 5 minutes, I want 10 minutes, I want 50 minutes. That is the work of someone who doesn't really understand the importance of buyer intent and what people need to hear in terms of making a decision like this and respecting their time. And that you learn as you, like you said, you go through the sales messaging, you figure out what makes your prospect tick. You are in their shoes, sitting across the table, belly to belly from them, really understanding what it is that they're challenged with and what would transform their business if you were able to help them.
Absolutely. Like I try to, my sports analogies are very football, soccer centric.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, well, except for tennis. I think every sport you learn on a smaller pitch with a smaller net. You know what I mean? It's like the little 6-year-old kids are not shooting hoops in an NBA court.
Right.
You start at a smaller place with a lower net, and then that's how you learn. So maybe don't give people the nuclear codes to email the world in their first quarter at your company.
Right, right. I love that advice. This is great, Matt. Well, we're nearing the end of our conversation. I want to be respectful for the time of our folks because they're all pretty busy and have priorities today. Now, we can get your book online at Amazon, and I'll go ahead and put all the links for that so people can go and get that book. And I really suggest anyone, whether you're Salesforce or not, the biggest boost to production is to really look at the sales process, plan it out, assess it, be sure you can draw it out. A lot of people can't even draw out how the process works or where the leads are coming from. So, step one is to do that and then overlay this book with these great, great stories and actionable teachings, really, and how to get your stuff up to date and then explore that notion of this stack and whether you really need to put them on these Ferrari type apps right away or if a Volkswagen is okay for right now.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Matt, how do we get a hold of you to have further discussions about this great topic of yours?
Well, if you are a Salesforce nerd like I am always on the Success Community, the Button Click Admins group, or the Lightning Now group, or where I hang out the most. And for not nerds, for normal people, normal business people, probably Twitter is the most fun and easiest, and it's at Matt Bertuzzi.
Okay, great. Well, thank you so much for your time. Appreciate the work that you're doing for our community. And, you know, we're trying to get everybody one step closer to really focusing on what matters, which is the messages that we share with our customers and getting more of those guys lined up with our wonderful products and services. Thanks again, Matt.
Thank you, Mary Lou. Thanks so much.